Happy Thursday afternoon, Carbondale. You are listening to KDNK, Carbondale Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. And this is Everything Under the Sun. I'm your host today, Megan Tackett, reporter of the Soper Sun. This is the weekly, well, I think we're about to be bi-weekly, actually, new show that we have on Thursdays, first and third Saturday of the month moving forward. So we are changing our schedule up a little bit, but it's the opportunity to kind of tell you the story behind the stories that make it into the newspaper, where we try to invite a guest or two on from some of the stories that you may or may not have read about. The newspaper just hit the stands today. So if you haven't had a chance to check out one platform, I have good news for you. You can listen to it on the airwaves here on KDNK exclusively. So today, speaking of, I am joined by a very special guest, Claire O'Leary. Claire, thanks so much for joining me.
Oh, thank you. I am so excited to be here.
Good fun. And I can't remember, have you done radio before?
I have never done radio.
Very exciting.
Kind of scary.
No, not at all. Not at all. It's just a fun time to have a conversation. People always come in and they're like, can I see your questions? I'm so nervous. And I'm like, what questions? We're just talking, right?
I love that about you, Megan. You just make things feel so natural.
Well, I really appreciate that because I particularly appreciate some of the conversations that we had, which led up to the story in this week's paper about the Empowered Voice, your traveling exhibit, which is debuting here in Carbondale at the 3rd Street Center this weekend. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm excited. I'm nervous. I'm all those things.
Well, I mean, that's good, right? That means you're fully invested.
It is.
Love. Natural, easygoing conversationalist, not an easy conversation.
Definitely not.
Have you read the story in the paper yet?
I've read most of it.
Oh,
I got interrupted about 2/3 of the way through, so I haven't read the last part yet.
No worries. So one of the things that I really appreciate about, and I hope I conveyed it well in my piece, is that you are such an easygoing conversationalist. And for our listeners, just an FYI, we are going to be talking about some sensitive stuff today. So if you're in the car and you've got some kiddos going on in the backseat, we will post this on kdnk.org. This may be an interview that could be sensitive or triggering for some listeners. I just do feel the need to put that out there. But, Claire, your work has been a message of empowerment and healing, very specifically, not just from sexual assault, but I think one of the darker on the spectrum. I mean, it doesn't get much worse than incest.
It just doesn't. That is, I can't imagine anything worse.
No. I was looking at some of the numbers following our conversation and just the percentages of victims that are younger than 12 years old. And, you know, what we kind of talked about is, and what I later spoke with Anne about as well, who's one of the artists that's going to be featured in The Empowered Voice, is, you know, she turned me on to, I had never heard of the betrayal trauma theory before, but it speaks to a lot of what both of you said to me in separate conversations and reporting for that story, was that when it came to the early, early childhood trauma and the basics behind this theory that was first introduced more than 20 years ago at the University of Oregon by staff there, was that in order to survive, we have to bond with our caretakers. When we're at our most vulnerable, we have to be able to bond.
And absolutely.
And when you're betrayed by that caretaker at such an innate level, sometimes the only coping mechanism is you have to bond. So you just don't accept it. Your brain doesn't even acknowledge it and you block it out until decades later in your adult life. And that kind of happened to you.
It kind of did. I was aware of the incest, but I didn't remember any of the details. They were completely hidden from me. I just remembered that it had happened. And that was it. And came back to me at 58 years old, for heaven's sake.
Right. Before that moment at 58 years old, when you really did confront it head on, I'm always interested when you say you knew it happened. Did it feel like it was just a narrative that you knew it happened, but it like almost like it didn't happen to somebody else? It's just a story you knew.
for me, it was a little bit more than a story. I was aware enough. I don't even know how to explain it. I knew that it had happened, but it just didn't seem that important to me because there were so many crazy things that were going on in my life. And when I started therapy, my psychologist was like, she kept trying to get me to go there. And I'd be like, but why? I've got this to deal with, and I have that to deal with, and 2 years of incest with my father to deal with. So why would I?
Mm-hmm.
That just didn't seem important.
And that happened to you, the incest with your father. That was later in your life, in your
teenage
years.
It was. I was a teenager at that point. So, happened when I was 16.
Which is much more in the front of your mind.
Much more. That one, there are still a lot of details that I don't know. I totally dissociated. Mm-hmm. I just like disappeared.
Right.
But it was always there. I mean, I always knew that it was there. It was a love-hate relationship because of it. But the one when I was 5 was like, well, you know, there was no penetration. There was no hurt.
Mm-hmm.
It was just something that happened.
Right. Right. And isn't it amazing how we find ourselves apologizing for abuse because, well, it could have been worse. It wasn't full penetrative rape, therefore, right?
Exactly. It's so true. And, you know, really when I work with my clients, I don't ever compare because it doesn't matter
mm-hmm.
whether you're, it doesn't matter if there was penetration, if you were raped for years. Your pain is your pain, and it's just, you have to deal with it in some way or another, and we all find our own ways. There's just 1,000 ways to deal with it, and eventually we find our way,
and
our way through.
You found your way through with a lot of writing and art. Even though you've got a professional graphic design background, I love when you're like, I'm not really an artist. I was like, you're a curator. Hold on now. But even with stick figures, you told me this great story of finding a moment of healing just through stick figures and string.
Exactly. I've been a journaler for years and years, probably, gosh, you know, I started in high school with Dear Diary, and then I moved on to something a little better than that, that was more healing, which was really awesome. And so I have been journaling off and on. Art journaling, I started doing probably about 7 years ago. And I love how it just takes me out of my head. And you just are able to come up with things that are not on a mental level.
Mm-hmm.
They're on a much deeper level, on a heart and soul. And it makes so much difference. It's not, Dear Diary, I broke up with my boyfriend today, and I am so sad. It's way beyond that.
Right.
And it's finding ways to deal with what's going on. Because
mm-hmm.
part of it is that. I mean, part of it is writing down your heart and soul. And part of it is figuring out, now what?
Right.
How do I deal with this?
Right. You know, you said something to me in an earlier interview that really, I mean, my heart broke, really. And I think I even said, I was so afraid you were going to say that, but that's exactly what I knew you were going to say. That, you know, at the time, you really came to this moment of realization of dealing with that early childhood trauma through writing a story that was a marketing class because you were trying to market your Reiki business. You had transitioned from graphic design to Reiki, and then all of a sudden this deeper stuff was coming up. And oh my gosh, how much this initial trauma when you were a little girl had really indirectly, subconsciously directed so many other arenas in your life, even down to that business. You weren't really marketing your business or charging what you were worth because at a deeper level, you were feeling a loss, a deficiency.
I was. I was feeling I was feeling, I was always less than. I was never had enough self-confidence. I felt like, oh, there's so many graphic designers out there who are at least as good or better than I am. How can I get away with charging $90 an hour, $120 an hour? And I'd been doing graphic design for over 20 years. I'd won awards, and I still could not charge my value. It was crazy, and I see that happening with almost every client I deal with has the same issue.
Do you think, I guess not do you think, what was your relationship, not only your personal relationship, but now you are, you know, new iteration of your career, you're offering, you've gone from Reiki to now then offering workshops, recognizing you've got these sexual abuse survivors that are gravitating toward those workshops. This weekend, we've got your show. Through all of that, how has boundaries played a role in your work and your expressions, not only in the relationship with yourself, but with the people with whom you're working?
I had absolutely no boundaries. I was such a yes girl. You know, when I was 5 years old, I know the thing that broke your heart when we were having that conversation is that when I was 5 years old, I made the decision that in order to be loved, I had to be whoever anybody wanted me to be. And I was that until I discovered that I'd made that choice. And once I realized that, I was able to begin to learn to set boundaries and to learn who I really was through some deep soul searching, meditation, journaling, certainly, all of that stuff just made such a huge difference in my life. And that's what I love to share with others.
And I think one of the things that I learned, not only through my own experiences and talking to you and talking to Anne and talking to so many other survivors, not of incest but per se, but on that sexual abuse scale, is, oh my gosh, just the level of immediate kinship of being able to share those stories and finding a voice together. Anne said that, you know, cause when I was speaking to her, she was actually out in New York doing a shoot for another kind of survivor-based project. And she said that she ended up cultivating a relationship with you because you made a comment on a blog that she had written on Ms. Magazine, and she was so touched and felt so heard that she felt moved to email you. And that was how that relationship happened. And so, you know, we started talking about, isn't it cool that there is this sense of empowerment by being able to share certainly different stories and experiences, but there is that bond. How did you go from doing workshops to the empowered voice?
Well, interestingly enough, I was working or talking to a friend, and I had shared a story to her, with her, I guess I should say, about an experience that I'd had the day before where I had not protected myself before beginning to work with a client, and I totally took on all of her stuff. And she said, you know, you might want to think about different ways of being an advocate for your survivors. So she suggested that I write down a bunch of ideas. She wanted me to write down 10 ideas. And so I started writing down a few things. After we got off the phone, I wrote down probably 3. And then the phone rang, and then it was time to fix dinner. And so that was all went down by the wayside. The next morning, I'm doing what I like to call my coffee meditation. And so I'm sitting there and I get this idea for a traveling art exhibit. So I gave her a call the next day and I'm like, I have it. I know what I'm going to do. And this had been a question mark in my mind for probably a good year. So this was really exciting. And it still took quite a while to really dig deep and get it going. But it's been over a year in the making, and I've got some just absolutely amazing art. I'm so excited. And Anne's going to be sharing her story at the live event, so I'm excited about that. She has a heart-wrenching story that she's going to share with us. And even though it's heart-wrenching, it's powerful and empowering at the same time. She is a beautiful writer. Beautiful writer.
And it was so wonderful to talk to her and just the confidence that she has in it now. And she said, I didn't really have that until the hashtag MeToo movement. And all of a sudden, not feeling enough, she was, oh no, I don't want to burden anyone. I don't want to burden anyone. Wait a minute. I have 10 years of healing experience. I have something to contribute to this.
Exactly. Exactly. And I feel the same way. You know, I've been doing this, started at 5. Okay, didn't really start my healing at 5. But it's been a long time.
Yeah, and just finding not only your voice to be able to talk about and share your story, but then to have the courage to comment on other people's blogs and ask them to be a part of this, because you are a curator. And you know, did you find that people were pretty happy to share their stories with you and for the show when you asked them? Or was that in and of itself asking for another next step in bravery?
That is really asking for another next step. It's interesting because most everybody said yes right away. Then a week or two later, they're contracting and they're going, I don't know. I don't think I can share this in public. And it's been a back and forth movement with almost every woman who was in the show, including myself.
Definitely.
It's been, and that I think is what's been really hard for me with getting the Empowered Voice exhibit out there is go, go, go. I'm so excited. And then, can I really do that?
Sure. And yeah. I mean, honestly, I'm another experience of that. We talked about, and I made an active decision. I talked to my editor about this. I made an active decision, like this was going to be the platform, but I was so afraid you were going to read the story and feel let down. Because when we talked at the coffee shop, and I was like, bold, brave face, and listening to your story and reporting. And then you said, you know, silence is killing us. And I thought, oh my God, as a survivor, I'm being so disingenuous by not offering myself out there. And then when I, and you told me, and when I was transcribing our interview, you said, I really hope you find a way of sharing your story in the story. And I thought, wow, yeah, I should do that. And then when I was actually writing it, I thought, No, my story is not enough. I don't want to distract from the main focus, and I don't want to take away from other stories. And I was talking to my editor about it. I said, you know what, do you think I should self-identify? Like, should I do this? Should I do that? And I thought about those two steps forward, one step back kind of thing. And he was like, well, you could maybe use the radio to have that connective conversation, because you are a traveling exhibit and you have, unfortunately, far too large of an audience.
I do. The audience is, official numbers are over 30%. I have yet to meet a woman who has actually reported. Therefore, the numbers are way, way over that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like half the women I know, at least. Mm-hmm. Of course, I seem to attract them.
Well, you offer a safe space.
I offer a safe space.
I remember Boulder police didn't want to talk to me about it. They said I had to talk to county. And then county was like, oh, no, you should be talking to city. I mean, even those who are supposed to be the trusted authorities, nobody wants to deal with that kind of a report. So having a safe space and myriad platforms of expression. So your show is on, the performance piece is Sunday at noon at the 3rd Street Center in the Round Room, correct?
It is. And I'll be sharing more of my story there.
Excellent. And that's through movement, spoken word. But then you've also got a more two-dimensional art exhibit as well.
Exactly. We have artist books. that typically have about 8 snippets of stories to share. We have individual art that depicts one or two things. I'm so psyched. I mean, these artists just blow me away. And most of them, to be honest, are not traditional. They're not artists by trade. This is their first time of creating something, and it's just soulful. It's just amazing to see.
That's pretty incredible, just to be able to ask people, hey, I know this isn't your profession and your background, but can you put a piece of your rawest self in an abstract, you know, sort of expression? And hey, we're just going to hang it up and have people come and preview it Friday and Saturday. And then we're going to put a performance around it on Sunday. You're cool with that, right?
Yeah, right. No problem.
Nice. But I have to say, I think that you do offer that kind of space. And I do think that you set the example and walk the walk in that, just having spoken to you now twice, truly. So thank you.
I do. I thank you so much. Yeah.
And that's an evolving thing. And it is a traveling exhibit. So you've already got Paeonia lined up in September.
Yes, Paeonia in September, Oakland at the end of April.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Nice.
So if anybody wants to bring it to their area,
Reach out. And
absolutely.
You have a website.
I do.
Which is?
ClaireOLeary.com.
ClaireOLeary.
Sorry. ClaireOLeary.
Perfect.
.com.
Perfect. I always joke, if there's a way to mispronounce a name, I absolutely will. And if I can misspell it, definitely. Right. So worth putting it out there. How are you feeling now that the show, because we chatted last week, like now that the show is like around the corner, how are you feeling?
I am beside myself. I'm so excited to be able to share and have a space for these women and myself, honestly, to be seen and heard.
Definitely.
That's just, and it's an amazing feat, because that is what we all need.
And you do not need to be a survivor in order to appreciate the pieces.
Absolutely not.
Great. Well, Clara Leary, thank you from the bottom of my heart for creating a space for everybody, including me, to have an honest conversation, because like you said, silence is killing us.
Thank you so much, and I'm so glad to break that silence.
Nice. Well, on that note, that's been our half-hour show here, and stay tuned for more awesome programming here on KDNK.